This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Consumers are holding onto their wallets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson in for Steve Chiatakis. There's word this morning from the Commerce Department that consumer spending was flat last month, even as people's incomes ticked up a bit. Wall Street is cool to the news. Stocks are lower. The Dow is down 60 points at 10,198 at this hour. The NASDAQ is down about 0.6%. The S&P 500 down about 0.7%. Oil has risen to almost $75 a barrel as President Obama heads to the Gulf to see the damage from the BP oil spill for himself. Well, all the drama we've seen in the stock market is nothing compared to what's happening in the bond markets. Companies are having a hard time selling their debt. In fact, the cost of borrowing is the highest it's been since Lehman Brothers collapsed. For more on this, we turn to Guy Labat. He's the chief fixed income strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. He joins us now from Philadelphia. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
I read that companies this month sold the least amount of bonds in a decade. What's going on?
Well, really all it comes down to is market volatility. Investors' level of concern and fear is waxing and waning so rapidly that a corporation who's looking to the bond markets to borrow money can't be sure how much they're going to pay for that borrowing. And so many corporations have been pulling bond deals that they plan to issue.
But why are corporations being dragged into this? Obviously, there's a lot of concern about Europe and whether European governments can pay back their debt, but why U.S. companies?
Well, it really comes down to this one linking factor, which is fear. You know, investors these days are very much a global community. Many institutions in particular invest both in Europe and in the U.S. And when they have fear of potential losses in Europe, well, they pare back their exposure worldwide to make sure that there's limited risk of that losses spreading to other sectors of the market.
Well, when we think of a credit crunch, obviously, the first thing that pops into many people's mind is the credit market seized up when Lehman Brothers collapsed. How does this compare to that?
Well, in many ways it is similar, and as you noted, borrowing costs are the highest since that period. But we use a metric called the LIBOR-OIS spread to determine how hard or how easy it is to borrow. And right now, that spread is about a tenth of what it was immediately in the wake of Lehman Brothers. So we're talking about a small percentage of how bad that situation was.
Guy Labat, Chief Fixed Income Strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at GoToMeeting.com/market. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Arizona's new law targeting undocumented immigrants hasn't taken effect yet, but tomorrow protesters will take to the streets in Arizona and 22 other states. Some of those marching will be union leaders, and as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, labor has a vested interest in the debate.
Anyone working in the U.S. needs at least a visa to do so legally, but there's no such requirement for joining a union.
For unions to organize workers, they can't ask to see their green card first. They seek to organize everyone in a workplace, whatever their immigration status.
That's Harley Shaken, a professor at UC Berkeley specializing in labor issues.
Many of these industries that have a lot of immigrant workers are vital for the growth of unions.
labor leaders voice other motivations. Ana Avendano with the AFL-CIO says the new law could have a chilling effect on worker complaints.
Our employment laws rely on workers to file complaints with the government to expose dangerous workplaces, non-payment of wages, discrimination, and other violations of law.
She says the Arizona law could be used to bust unions. When faced with a picket line, Avendano says employers could just call the sheriff and have their problems deported. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Professional sports teams here in the U.S. spend a lot on athletes. That trend has been catching on in European soccer. But now, a lot of the biggest clubs there are in debt and even facing bankruptcy. So the organization that governs Euro Soccer has agreed on some new rules designed to stop clubs from spending more than they take in. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
Big salaries are a major part of the European game. The highest paid players earn around $300,000 a week. And clubs also pay transfer fees when stars move from one team to another. Last summer, the Spanish club Real Madrid paid more than $100 million for Ronaldo. Rob Faulkner's from European Soccer's governing body and says action was needed.
Our intention has been to curb the inflationary spiral of wages and transfers and make, hopefully in the future, then make clubs live within their means.
A recent report found that half of Europe's leading clubs were losing money and 20% faced financial peril. Faulkner says smaller clubs especially have been overstretching themselves, trying to keep up with the big boys. He hopes the new rules will help by limiting the amount of money poured into clubs by rich investors. But Faulkner insists it's not about making all clubs equal. And if they generate the money from ticket sales and TV revenue, then they can spend it. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer reporting for Marketplace.
And finally, we know you're busy. So here's Marketplace's Bill Radke with all the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute.
I hope BP will have the skill to use Top Kill to stop the spill that fills the gills and kills the krill. Still, on Capitol Hill, the thrill of the drill is nil. And, as predicted, drilling's restricted. The drug's more expensive, and we're still addicted. Euro debt has yet to vanish, first the Greeks and now the Spanish. Reviews are out for Sex and the City. Critics agree the film is underwhelming. And the biggest tech firm the world has got used to be Microsoft. Now it is not. Apple surpassed it, but Google's amassed the unsurpassed vastness to blast right past it. And who knows who the Google killer will be, but you'll hear it at marketplace.org.
The great Bill Radke. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.